Hello, this is Norma Sheehan from the Heal Your Hole podcast, asking you to heal my hole for a change, the hole in my pocket. It's just a small one-off payment, no subscriptions, takes 30 seconds to do apparently. So you need to follow the support this show link in the show description. And every payment increases my healing power, so I can continue to tend to your lazy holes, hairy holes, needy holes, itchy holes, money holes, smelly holes, arseholes.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hello and welcome to episode number 33 of the Heal Your Hole podcast with myself, Norma Sheehan, where we will look at all the various holes in your life, physical, mental, spiritual, emotional, financial, comical, sexual, and we give them all a good seeing too. Last week we did Wrinkly Hole, and that was with Marie Gashidi. She gave us loads of gorgeous advice on how to prevent your face looking like an old man's testicle, basically. And this week we're doing Greedy Hole because it's coming up to Christmas. So I rang around a few charities in the hope that I get the kids to, we might go out singing if we can, or sell something, cakes or something. And to be fair, Focus Ireland is the one I'm going to do it for because they are based here in Ireland and they help the homeless and all that. And I was kind of saying to them, you know, this year, is it okay with all the hotels? Are you doing grand? And she said, in particular, the issue is people running from home because of abuse. And I just want to say to you arseholes out there who are physically or mentally or sexually abusing people during lockdown, you're a sicko. You're a sicko. And I wish I could line you all up just with the one bullet, save it. You're sick. Go away and get yourself fixed. And stop causing people to have to go out on the street, homeless, because of abuse. Disgusting, disgusting beasts. Anyway, that's my rant. So if you could give some money to Focus Ireland, that would be great. Sorry. Oh, it just boils my fucking blood. Anyway, so today I'm going to talk to somebody. This is John Shahan. He is a friend and a relative, and he has worked for many years in the fanciest department store in, Jesus, it's probably the fanciest one in Europe. I want to get an insight into the psychology of the big spender. And now when I say big spender, I mean like nothing really you'd even see in Ireland, right? So I'm going to give him a call and just discuss all the greedy feckers out there who spend their money on stuff they probably don't need. So here we go.
Hi there.
Hello, John. Are you free to take a call for a podcast?
And then I was wondering what news from the old country was coming through, which is a podcast. I'll tell you what.
Yeah. Well, I've no news. My life is pretty boring, but I'm doing greedy hole for my podcast this week. And not, I don't think you're a greedy person. That's not why I'm ringing you. But I have a few questions that you may or may not be legally able to answer. So first up, you are the only person I kind of know who has so many intriguing jobs. But one in particular, you worked in a very highbrow store in the UK where I visited you once and you showed me a ring worth 5 million. I think it was 5 million the ring was worth, was it?
God, it could have been. It wasn't so much how much the ring was how much did you want to spend? Because, funnily enough, you can always find enough rocks, depending on the budget.
Right, okay. But I do remember that you were dealing with some of the more wealthy customers. And I was like, oh my God, would that be like Posh and Becks? And you said, oh no, 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 no. Like, this is people with real money. Like, people who wouldn't know what an ESB bill is ever in their life. They don't even know what money is it?
Yeah, I mean, I suppose it's, yeah, I suppose we generally have this conception that celebrities have lots and lots of money, but there are certainly levels. And the way I would always put it is that there's a difference between somebody who might have earned money, and that is a lot of celebrities, even though there's lots of celebrities who might have born into some money. But the difference is, if you were born into a world where just money wasn't a thing, that there was just always money. And I think the only way I could describe that is that for most of us, because it is all relative, like we would kind of look at people who are wealthier than us and we would say, oh my, wow, it must be amazing, it must be incredible. But of course, we live in the first world, so there are people who'd look at us as well and think, my goodness me, all of us must be so thrilled and happy that we have so much. And it's exactly the same, because it just seems to be human nature. Everybody wants more, no matter how much you have. And I think one of the biggest challenges is that if you have all the money in the world, how do you achieve anything? What do you do it for? And everything just changes, because, of course, somebody can walk into a shop in any one of the beautiful shops in London or in Dublin, wherever, and look at these beautiful, beautiful things. Part of the enjoyment, which is amazing, is the fact that we kind of can't have it, or that if you want it, you've really got to, like, wait for it. And that is so, so important. So for anyone who's got lots and lots of money, you know, no matter how many watches you have, it's still just a watch. You've only got one arm. Well, you've got two watches, but you can only really wear one watch at a time. So it's like, watch you. You can put it on your legs as well if you want. But I mean, it still just tells the time. And so in any story, the one story I will always remember, and it was just before Christmas. So I started working in luxury stores before Christmas, 10 years ago.
Well, you weren't just, let's just say you weren't just behind the counter now. You were a guide, let's call it.
So I was given a very particular job. So I was basically out of work after, pretty starving. And I saw that this job was advertised. So it was basically you could sell anything in the store. You would just help people find Christmas presents. And I thought, that sounds like a bit of a fun job. So I signed up to it. But this was literally, as I started the training, just before, I think it was in November, word came out that there was going to be a financial crash. Like, not the best time to be trying to sell luxury things.
Yeah.
But I just thought, you know what, I'm actually just going to go out onto the shop floor, and I absolutely loved it. Because I remember, like, I went downstairs, down to where the fashion watches, that's what we call them. Fashion watches are just more kind of...
What price now is the fashion compared to a real...
Okay, well, I have to, like, slightly qualify this, that I've worked in luxury retail for so long. My prices are completely out. What I think is something is cheap is probably, for most people, is probably kind of expensive. And I will just point out for myself, I mean, I don't go out and buy watches for whatever it is, £5,000. Now, a fashion watch would be around about £200.
Okay.
So that's kind of very entry level.
Yeah, I could buy that now if I put my mind to it, but I wouldn't want to because I'd break it.
There you go. But, I mean, it's crazy in a sense because it's £200. It's not cheap by any means. But, I mean, I went out there and I thought, you know what? And this lady, my goodness me, I will never forget it. I mean, she asked me every single question that was possible to ask about this watch. And she was pointing at the dials and saying, you know, what do they do? What does this do? And can I dive 50 metres? And I was like, are you seriously going to dive 50 metres with this watch? I mean, and in the end, I almost bought the watch for her because I was exhausted. She was exhausted. And in the end, she didn't buy the watch. And I just thought, that's it. My luxury career is over. And so I went to where the more expensive watches were. And I did love it around there because I loved it for two reasons. One was the people who come in to actually buy these watches. You know, and we're talking watches that are going to be 5,000, 10,000, 20,000 or more. So there was one of the people who might actually come in and buy them. But the people I really loved was you'd see a fantastic reaction where, you know, you'd see some fella who basically was just hating the world because of Christmas shopping. And he'd kind of spot something he'd like, so he'd get a bit closer. And there's that point where you actually, the price comes into focus. It's like, whoops. And as you back away, like you've been bitten or a bit of an electric shock or something like that. And I always would go up to them and say, may I help you, sir? And that would just be great fun because then he would think, I actually want to try and sell him the watch, and he'd be trying to make it look like, oh, no, maybe not today. But then I would just kind of get talking to them. And it was fantastic because we're all fascinated by these items. And you see, for me, you got me going now on shopping. And when I started working in luxury retail, I, completely honest, I thought, you know, this stuff, what's the point? It's just things.
Yeah.
But soon after that, I realized that actual fact that these things, shopping is emotive. What makes you choose the thing that you choose?
Well, it fills a void in their life. Like, I love my car. I don't like jewellery. I'm not into clothes. But I think I love my car, not more than my children, but I love, because I'm not allowed to say that, but I love my car so much I can't express it.
And I would add to that, I would actually say that there are other things. There are clothes that we have, maybe a piece of something, a jacket, an old shirt, whatever, a pair of trousers, that we go back to time and time again, or a little piece of jewellery. And so often, it's associated with a memory of somebody who you knew, who gave it to you, or you bought it around that time.
Yeah, but that's lovely, John. What about the... Did you see any disgusting greed going through the store? Like, what was the most you saw someone spend that just didn't need it and was just disgustingly spending?
I suppose you don't really see, in the greed as such. I'd love to think you do, but you don't. Because, generally, these kind of purchases, nobody kind of just comes in and drops whatever. They will think about it, and they'll have a story. And also, like, luxury retail is all about telling a story. So, like...
Well, you'd be an amazing seller, because you'd come along with your Irish accent. You know, you're so personable. Also, you've been an actor, so you can put on a little bit of a show, and you just seem genuine. And it turned out that a lot of those people wanted to be your friend. You made good friends.
Well, that's it, because I think in luxury retail, the difference is that because it's selling a story. But what surprised me that first time I went up to sell expensive watches was that I was looking at the watches. I knew nothing really about them. But this other gentleman really knew all about them, and he was telling me, and he was picking them up, and he's saying, this watch, he said, I have something similar to this. And he was explaining what it was and about the different elements of it and obviously all the complications, as they call it. And do you know what? He actually convinced himself to buy the watch.
Wow. So you didn't have to do it. Oh, my God.
I think the watch, as memory serves, about £30,000. And I remember afterwards they came up to me and said, that was a great deal. How did you do this? And I was going, I have no idea. He bought the watch himself. But
so all he wanted was someone not to tell him he was stupid to buy it, like a relative or somebody else. He just wanted...
Well, you do in a sense, because, you are kind of saying, it is something about the brand. It is something about, again, at that level. I suppose this is kind of what I mean about the green sense, because, curiously, at that level, the watches and all that you're buying, the jewellery you're buying, doesn't decrease in value. So it is, in a sense, an investment.
Right, but you do have to have that money to throw away in the first place.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Now, you skipped my question earlier. What is the dearest bill that you've ever seen come through? Like, a couple coming in, or a family, or a single person, probably one of these people who doesn't understand money and has never had to worry about money. Is there any, like, a flippant shop that you went, wow, that took an hour less and there's X amount going out the store? Like, was there anything mind-blowing?
I can't say very much here, but certainly, you do see, I suppose, over the years, I'm not actually a shopper, so I don't tend to be the client.
Yeah. That's probably why they like you, because you're just a pal going around the shop with them, really.
But, well, you know what? The other thing is that because I know the store inside and out, and I would always say it's not about necessarily the most expensive thing. It is about, I love talking to somebody and finding that thing that they want. They want for Christmas, or they want something really, really special. And I always had my favourite, because, of course, a lot of people would say to you, everything you want to sell is expensive, and it's simply not true. Yes, you will see people come in, and you will see, slightly to answer your question, maybe, a couple of £100,000. In a single transaction.
A couple of 100,000 in a single transaction, right. And that's their weekend shop. That's lovely. But also
yeah,
that,
I mean,
that
I mean they're not buying, you know, Fly's fan or anything like that.
No.
But at the same time, so one of my favorite gifts, and I would always say this, is it was a Christmas gift, and if you can ever find one, it is one of the most special things, and anyone will love this. I think everyone, for me, it's always food.
Yeah.
I think if you don't know what to buy somebody, food is fantastic. Because yes, we all do get. I suppose if anyone's going to get greedy, it is Christmas, and we all eat way too much.
Yeah.
But one of the things I really, really love is tea. There was a time when tea was the most expensive drink in the world. And all those expressions, all the tea in China, all of this. And one of the things I absolutely love is I'm also a tour guide, but the Chinese, they had tea. And the reason it was so expensive is the Chinese wouldn't give it away. They wouldn't, you know, let other people have, you know, have the plan.
Wow, so it's all about supply and demand and exclusivity and stuff like that. It's not like
absolutely.
Mrs. Doyle, you will, go on.
Absolutely not. So originally, I mean, because people always wonder, why do people in the States drink coffee and people in England, in Britain, drink tea? Because tea is so associated with English. But in actual fact, coffee came into the UK first. It was sold in London around about 1660 when we started, something around then.
Yeah.
But what had happened was a lot of people who left the old country of the Americans would say, Britain went over to the United States, they continued drinking coffee. But what happened in England was that the Queen started in the 1700s, I think it was Queen Anne, she began to drink tea, and that became fashionable, and that showed you had class.
Right.
The problem was, it was so expensive, and that was the whole point. And so what they actually did in the 1840s was, an Englishman went into China, and he stole the tea. It's an absolutely true story. He actually dressed up as a Chinese person, and that's how he stole the tea. It's an incredible story.
He stole how much tea? Enough tea for...
He stole the plant.
Oh, he stole the plant so people could grow it elsewhere.
He stole the plant. So he and where did they grow it? Well, it just so happened that the British Empire had lots and lots of land in India, and so they brought it over to India, and they started growing the tea in India instead. That's why we associate tea so much with India today.
Tea is much better for you than coffee anyway. Coffee, you know, you'd have to have four teas to equal the brain buzz of a coffee.
Oh, yeah. And I mean, it does have this, you know, there's one of the wonderful elegance about it, of course, in drinking tea. And there's so many different types. And if you ever have the time going into one of these luxury stores and really begin to experiment with some of the teas, because a lot of the big stores, they still sell the loose tea. There's amazing teas. There was one tea that I was aware of was grown. Oh, goodness me, where was it? It was grown in Hawaii.
Yeah,
and it was one of the most expensive teas in the world.
Wow! So it's hard to believe that
£25 a cup. Yes,
for a cup of tea.
Yeah,
my granny lived to 102, and I asked her, you know, does she drink water and all that? And she said she never had a cup of water in her life, never had a glass of water in her life. And I said, well, what did you drink? Because you know, she didn't drink alcohol either. Actually, she said the only thing she ever drank was tea.
That is true. It is amazing, actually. You know, the fondness for tea in Ireland, actually, and I'd have to say Barry's tea, of course.
Yes.
And I think many, many people did actually think that Barry's tea was grown in Ireland. that was part of it. But anyway, what I was going to say was that my favourite gift, the way they used to transport tea in the olden days was they would transport it in a brick. So with all the tea actually just compressed together, and when you would actually go to make a cup of tea, you would shave off, using a blade, just how much tea you wanted. And it is still possible to buy these little tea bricks, and they're beautiful. They're quite small, about the same size as a dinner plate, square, and normally has the most beautiful decoration on the side of it. And I think they go for around £20.
Oh, that's such a lovely present. That's so special. Because when I grew up, we used to have the tea leaves. There was no tea bags when I was a kid, or else my mother just didn't agree with it. The tea bag didn't kind of appear till I was in my teens, I'd say. So before that, it was always at home. My mother would have had the real butter and the tea leaves.
And that was the tradition, of course, as well. And actually, I think many, many people today don't have a teapot. But again, that was that lovely tradition. Yeah, I mean, I do wonder, obviously we all have tea bags now and kind of the tea on the go and things like that. But
yeah
that tradition of tea drinking and things like that. And I suppose that, you see, that's where, again, it's part of the story. Like, what is your particular favourite brand and things like that? And whenever I bring people into the store and when I'm showing people around, I will always try to introduce them to something new. They just haven't thought about it, they haven't known the story. Because when somebody knows the story of somebody's brand, they then kind of stay with it for the rest of their lives. So it's lovely.
And did you ever feel like saying to them, do you really need to buy that second jacket? Could you not give that to St. Vincent de Paul or Focus Ireland or one of the charities? Like, you really can only wear one jacket at a time. Or did you just shut your gob and just, your head just has to be in a different place, does it?
No, no. Do you know, I mean, again, I suppose, and this is being completely honest, if you came into me, all right, and I walk around the store and I sell you X, Y, and Z and have you, you know, heaving your way out of the store, you'll get home and you'll look at the bill and you'll have that wonderful thing called post-purchase dissonance. What you'll do is that over the next few days, you'll bring it all back to the store and return it, most likely.
That is so, I mean, I do that in pennies even, so yeah.
So you'll never talk to me again. So in actual fact, that what we will tend to do is, we will. The hardest thing about being a good shopper is that you say no to the client. I mean, because a lot of it as well is that people don't necessarily know, including myself, you know, what suits them. So when you're working like with a personal shopper, I'm not quite a personal shopper, but I have worked as a personal shopper and I work with many of them.
Yeah.
You know, that's what the skill is, because you have to build trust and confidence in the shop.
Well, the best shopper I ever had was a guy selling me ASICS or ASICS runners down in an ASICS store. And he said, I was trying on all the fancy ones, and he went over and put my foot on this machine thing he had, and he came back and he went, look, you and your bunions now, and your, no, he didn't, but he looked at my bunions and my wonky feet, and he directed me over another way, and he sold me these ones that were half the price of the ones I had on my feet. And I was looking at him going, wow, okay, you're a nice guy. And they were my favourite pair of runners ever, because they just had this soft cloth where my manky bunion is, and I'd no pain. It was just bliss. But I'll never forget him.
No, and that is the truth. I mean, I would say it is far more likely that somebody will kind of buy too much or buy the wrong things because they do it on their own. And we all know that we have that part of the cupboard or the wardrobe, you know, behind the first five or six items, the things that are further back that we never get. We can't throw out, and you buy them and you put them in there and they're never worn. The whole point is that, you know, you should try and buy the things you will actually use. And no matter how much you spend on it, if it is something you really are going to get use of, it's a good buy.
Right.
And as I said, that's what the pleasure is.
It's been absolutely lovely talking to you, because I thought I was going to ring you and give a big bashing just out of jealousy, pure jealousy. I was planning on ringing you to bash the rich for spending money. But you know what? Like, I'm sorry, but if you look at these people, I know some wealthy people here in Ireland, and my God, the amount they give to charity, the amount they do for charity. So by being wealthy, they enable themselves to have time and money to give back. So that's usually the way it works, isn't it?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, again, I'm being, you know, not really giving up much information, but the people I've worked with, and I know that there are huge foundations and what has been done, what has been given back at Christmas. And we do so much volunteering and things like that as well. And certainly from so much went to the NHS. And it is, because, as I say, I don't believe there's any point in having, you know, a business that is just about taking. Because you could do that, but who's going to work for you? And I love where I work. And I have huge respect for the people I work for all of the stores. And I think it is. Do you know what? I mean, I really think it is. I know, of course, that shopping and all that will tend to get a bad press. But all of us, as kids and all that, going into stores and seeing the most amazing, beautiful animals and things like that. I mean, my goodness me. I mean, that is, it is so special.
Yeah.
And, you know, when you come in and you see the children with the teddy bears and things like that.
Yeah.
And when people say to me, like, about online shopping, I mean, I don't just say this for what I do, but I hope we will never, ever lose the stores.
I can't do online. There's something wrong in my brain.
I can't.
It just doesn't work for me. I did it twice and I got two lumps of crap that I couldn't wear, and then I didn't know how to send them back. So I just went, that's it. Never doing it again.
No.
I want to go into the store. I also, even if I'm booking a hotel, I ring up. I don't want to do it online. I want to talk to the person, and if they say, go back online, it'll be 20% cheaper, I'll go that way, but I'll talk to them first, because you never know what a human being will say to you that you won't get from a computer. I totally agree with you there.
I'll give you this last story, or you'll have me on the phone all night. But, so that first year I was working, and I was down by Fine Watches, and this gentleman came in, and he was buying a Rolex, and he had saved up, this is no word of a lie, he'd saved up for 7 years to buy this Rolex.
Wow.
And you know what, we made... such a fuss about him. We had everybody out and everybody was just like celebrating in a moment.
I saw a car pulling in next to me recently and I just went, oh my God, divine car. And I was staring at it and the woman got out and I just said, sorry, I just have to say your car is beautiful. I didn't even notice that it was a Mercedes at the time, but it was this small little beautiful Mercedes. And she said, oh my God, thank you for saying that. I can't tell you how hard I work to have this car, but I do love it. It is lovely, isn't it? So it was like your man with the watch. Yeah, fair enough.
With the whole Christmas thing, I think we've all experienced that thing about it really is about the joy of giving as opposed to receiving. And I absolutely feel that. And certainly, yes, and especially the time of the year and thinking about people who are less than you is so important.
Can I be honest, John? I get very upset and low when someone gives me something. I get really put out. Yeah. There's something wrong and maybe then things aren't going to come to me from the universe or whatever. But I like if someone gives me something, if someone gives me flowers and going, well, that's great. Nowhere to put them. That's just going to look great in my manky, dirty kitchen. Or someone gives me a piece of clothing. Well, where am I going to wear that now? What's that going to match? That's just another bother. And I'll have to remember to wear it when I meet the person. And then 3 or 4 days later, I calm the feck down and I find a place for it in my life. Obviously not the flowers because they'd have withered by then. But there's something wrong in my brain. I find items, physical items, that they just get me down. I just want one or two coats, one car. I want one pair of runners. I want, if I have more, I get bothered. And I don't even like the feel of jewellery. I find jewellery, like any type of a bracelet or necklace, I can only wear it for an hour at an event and I have to take it off. It just doesn't feel right on me. I need help.
Well, no, do you know what I mean? It's funny because my mum was exactly the same. You couldn't find on them anything.
Just, right. I keep saying to the guys, like they're saying, what will you get me for Christmas? And I said, just clean your bedroom. Just do that for Christmas. I'm so impersonal. I'm all about throw 5 or 10 or 20 in an envelope and just throw it at them. And I'd even throw it in a brown envelope. Anyway, I'm going to let you go. But John, I know you were brilliant at your job, still are, because you yourself always look like 100% dapper. But I know that you don't like excess. You don't like excess. But you like the finer things. But you're certainly not a greedy person from what I've known of you.
No, probably a little bit over lockdown and all that. But yeah, that's probably the same as everybody, just eating too much in a bit.
Oh, right. That way greedy. Right. Yeah. I suppose. Yeah. But you're a thin fecker. You probably have only put on a pound or two, have you?
Oh, God, no. No, I tell you what. I'm the kind of person I can't have like one or two biscuits.
Yeah, I'm the same.
That's my problem.
Yeah, I'm your cousin.
I don't know how somebody has like one biscuit with a cup of tea. I don't understand those.
Yeah. The packet is open, you don't want to be. That's like picking your favorite child. You know, you have to eat all of them. You can't just eat one and leave the other poor fellas in the packet. Okay. Goodbye, John.
All right. Madam.
Thank you for all your information.
Oh, well, that changed my tune a little bit. Okay. Fair enough. Thank you, John, for that. I was up for bashing the lot of them, but that's just jealousy, I guess. And just because I'm not turned on by shopping. Okay. So I have to say that was very funny about the tea looking like a block of brown stuff. All I could think of was a block of hash. You know, that little knob of hash. Not that I know much about it, but I remember people shaving bits off it. No, it didn't. It never suit me. But yeah, it has changed my view slightly. And do you know what? Seeing as we're doing Greedy Hole, just going to give you all a little nudge. I'd like to say thanks to everyone who has supported the show. Lots of supporters. But anyone out there who's not feeling greedy, you can support my show. What is it? Follow the support link in the description. And you can give a one-off donation to me to plough on, if you'd like me to plough on with healing your holes. But don't worry about it otherwise. You can give anything from €3 to, I don't know, a couple of thousand, whatever. So thank you for listening. And again, tell your friends if you enjoyed the show. And if you didn't enjoy the show, shut your hole. And till next week. So, bye-bye.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.